It's time for ER 101 with expert guests provided by the American College of Emergency Physicians. Here's Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, thank you. We're talking to Dr. Hugh Hill, and a little bit of underage drinking during prom season and what parents can do. And you were saying, Dr. Hill, that, you know, kids are getting the alcohol from adults, which is a whole nother issue. So that contributes to it.
Well, Lee may be also aware that in addition to being an emergency physician, I'm also a health lawyer. And so I'm not above reminding people that supplying alcohol to underage drinkers is a criminal offense. Plus, it creates civil liability for the damage that's done after they hurt somebody.
Yeah, it's so true. So when you have those parties for your kids before prom, I mean, think about it and be smart. And this can kind of segue into April's also National Distracted Driving Month. And distracted driving, another huge issue with teens that you worry about. And unfortunately, and what's interesting about this, and I've written about this too, is the problem is it's not as stigmatized anymore. I think we've done a really good job at stigmatizing driving drunk. And it, you ask parents or people, would they ever consider getting on behind the wheel with their kids in the car, you know, drunk? And people are aghast. They're like, are you kidding me? No. But then, you know, here they are carpooling, driving with their kids, and yet, you know, we answer the cell phone or, you know, pick up, do a quick text. And there's just not the same stigma attached to it. In fact, I think it's the opposite. It means you're so important, so busy, you have to take this call.
That's a great point. The interesting thing to me is the statistics suggest that distracted driving is not just the teens. There may even be fewer kids that are doing this than adults. But of the over 3,000 people that are being killed every year in crashes involving distractions, a significant number of them are kids. And maybe the government statistics suggest that 18% of injury crashes in 2010 were reported as distraction-affected crashes.
Hmm.
You know, and it's not just the texting and the cell phone. There was a horrific crash last night out in California in which a tractor-trailer driver was eating a sandwich and started choking, crossed the lane, hit a wall, killed a couple people. His truck blew up. It just awful stuff.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and with your legal background, too, I mean, that's why some of the people feel it's a slippery slope. I mean, you're talking about people eat in the car, people are putting makeup on in the car, they're tuning the radio and things like that. But I still think that distracted driving, there's a big researcher, Dr. David Strayer, out in Utah, and he's been doing a lot of studies on this and has published a lot on it. And it is the same. I mean, just talking on your phone, he says, without a hands-free is four times more likely you'll be involved in a car accident. And if you would text and drive, eight times more likely. So twice as dangerous as driving drunk if you're distracted.
Sure,
texting.
And those statistics include the fact that there's three kinds of danger associated with it. It's the motor part of it, your coordination, your physical aspect, because you got your hand on the phone instead of on the wheel. And it's the cognitive. You know, it's also that you're not thinking about driving. You're distracted in that way as well.
Yeah, and it's hard, you know, as a physician, even as a busy multitasking parent, it's sometimes very hard. And I have to say, now that my son just got his permit, and even in the year up to that, I was trying my best, because I think you're right that kids now are hearing it so much, they're learning it in driver's ed. You know, they'll tend to say to parents, you know, don't pick that up or don't do that. So I would say maybe in the very beginning, when they first get their license and they're a little uncomfortable behind the wheel or driver's permit, you know, they won't be doing it as much. But we're guilty as parents, too. And it's tempting. And I think it's a society as a general. We're so connected today. you know, it's like you, there's no time for you to disconnect. Have you ever been to a restaurant and you've looked around and you've seen people at the table and it looks like they're not conversing? They're actually looking down at their cell phones, all of them individually?
Sure, and that buzzer goes off or the phone rings, and it's a reflexive Pavlovian desire or need to respond to that instantaneously, which is almost irresistible. We've had, speaking of your teenager, there's been some success with the program asking parents to join with their young drivers in a pledge not to text or talk while driving. And it's a mutual promise to each other, and the kids are concerned about their parents' well-being, and that's, there's been some success with that.
Yeah, I think it's an important thing to really consider, and it's hard and it's tempting. And I think until we really stigmatize it as much as we've stigmatized drunk driving, I think we're going to continue to have problems, because as we said, it's almost the opposite. The perception of a busy, highly successful, multitasking person that's, you know, waiting for that important business call, or you know, even a busy doctor on call with really sick patients in the hospital and, you know, not taking a minute because it's critical. And you really
That same sense of hubris in the adults is a parallel to the sense of invulnerability in the teens, the inability to consider that something bad might happen to them. So you've had in the emergency room, as I have, teachable moments, people who have survived accidents or injuries or had close calls. And they might be a little more willing to listen to us. And you probably use the same strategy I do with the distracted drivers as well as the motorcyclist who won't wear their helmet. I don't tell them that they're going to make a mistake because they're resistant to that idea. I tell them that they are vulnerable to all the other idiots on the road that might make a mistake, and they can't react and save themselves.
Oh, that's a very good point. That is a very good point. And it is interesting now, you know, that I've really made an effort to stop. As I look around, I mean, you can tell it's funny, the distracted. I used to think when police officers would say, oh, they could tell who was maybe driving impaired, they'd be driving really slow. I mean, those are the distracted drivers, too. I mean, they're
right.
Not zooming. They're the ones driving slow, but then every once in a while, they're, you know, wandering into, you know, off to the side or into the lane. So I think it's probably just as easy to pick out as the way cops can sort of now pick out drivers that are impaired from alcohol.
And the states are different in how they handle this. In some states, it's illegal. In other states, it is a secondary offense. If you're stopped for something else, like for your seatbelt or speeding and found to be texting or talking on the phone, you can be cited for that. An interesting liability issue has come up recently. Some creative lawyers have started suing the person who's on the other end of the phone after a telephone call distracted involving accident. I don't know that there's been any success with that, but they're dragging them in probably as another source of funds.
Wow. Not that I would ever want to encourage lawyers from finding another party to sue, but it is interesting, and it sort of harkens back to what we talked about with the teen, you know, underage drinking, and two, supplying alcohol to a party. You know, as parents, sometimes I hear the argument, well, you know, they're at my house, and I make sure they're all going to sleep over, and you know, I'm watching them. But you know, one kid that drinks too much and overdoses in a sense, or has a medical problem, and then the parents become liable, as they should, I think.
Well, that plus they're going to feel absolutely terrible.
Yes, well,
as they should.
Yeah, that's an aside. It's really is something, but it's hard today as a parent. You know, there's just so much out there that we have to consider as a parent, and what you can do with your kids. It's a tough road, but it's important to think about it, be realistic, make choices and such. I want to thank my guest for being here. This has been really informative. And